Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Make sure you check out our NFL Game of the Week, the Chiefs and the Broncos. Big AFC West battle coming up at 3:25 on Sunday on 102.5 The Game. NFL Game of the Week presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Massaro in 12 South. We hope to be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports here in just a few minutes.
Charles.
Rex Road is getting roasted on the text line.
Am I?
Says,
one texter says,
how is Diego better than Ty Simpson? That's just crazy. He completely bleeped the bed against Alabama.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, that's a fair thing. In fact, I mean, you probably go back to – I mean, I think I covered that game, and I think there's probably a reference in my column off that game to, first of all, that Simpson should now be ahead of him, and that's absolutely true. Look, I like Simpson definitely better than Saint as a candidate. So I'm not dismissing Simpson at all. I think we have to let things play out. But I guess we could ask Charles about this. He's a big Heisman guy.
Let's head to our phone line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our man Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports to the program. Charles, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, gentlemen? How are you doing?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Charles, I want to start on the Matt LaFleur front, and I guess we could take this out of the context of the group text message between us three where I'm just constantly complaining about him and ask about it in all actuality. I mean, Matt Schneidman from The Athletic is writing a piece about – how he's coaching for his job. He's being asked about it all week long in the press conferences. So what do you make of where things stand between Matt LaFleur and the Packers? He does not have a contract extension to this point beyond next year, nor does the general manager, by the way. How real do you think it is that they could move on from him at the end of this year?
Well, I mean, look, I don't think there's any question that it's been disappointing up until this point. I think that we've talked about this before. The consistency is just, I mean, it's all over the place. You can't, from one week to the next, I don't really know who they are. And when you look at the quality of the wins, the season opener at Detroit, obviously, you set a really high expectation there to handle Detroit the way that they did. But really since then, I mean, you got to win over Washington. We've seen what kind of Washington's devolved into, particularly, defensively, not a good team. Cincinnati, Arizona, Pittsburgh. There's not really a quality win beyond that Detroit game in the opener that LaFleur has under his belt. And then to lose to, Carolina and then Philly back to back, and in games where, like, offensively, it feels like Jordan Love's regressing, which you can't have. If you Matt LaFleur, you're an offensive-minded guy, you're calling plays. This is supposed to be the season where, Love was your MVP, right? This is when you were supposed to turn the corner, and hasn't happened at all. Sorry, I need a drink of water. Give me one second.
You're good.
LaFleur's dehydrated.
He's made
you.
Me sick this week, too. I understand how it is.
Charles, okay. Is he there? Are you still there?
Like 100 years old here. I need to get myself a drink of water now.
Big gulp of prune juice and get back at it.
Good Lord. What is going on in my life?
Prune juice, huh? Have you voluntarily drank prune juice?
No, my grandpa used to always have prune juice in the fridge.
Okay, I'm good. I actually had a drink of water. Now I'm back at 100%.
Nice.
Is he coaching for his job? I still think the Packers are a playoff team. I think the remainder of the schedule, obviously, I don't think it's that daunting. Minnesota with J.J. McCarthy is a beatable team right now, and that's on your schedule twice, right? Chicago, I still think Chicago is not I don't think they're where they're going to be next year. This to me is still sort of a progression season for Chicago. They're on your schedule twice. Those are winnable games. Baltimore is rebounding right now. I he's still got the ability, I think, to turn it around. But yeah, I mean, it's critical. And, you know, the money that was invested, particularly on defense, the Super Bowl is the expectation. So, you know, if you fall short of that, you know, if it is a playoff team and they don't make the Super Bowl, I don't know that you could fire Matt LaFleur, but, you know, next season's the referendum. That's it. You know, there's not going to be an extension there for him. It's going to be like Mike McCarthy in Dallas last year, right? Where we're like, this guy getting extended. You can't fire him because, geez, he's put together a couple of winning seasons. No, I think the expectations and the salary load where it is now, and honestly, even Love's development suggests that, you know, LaFleur's definitely, I think, coaching for a job, I think, through 2026, though. I mean, you guys tell me, you're going to fire him? Let's say he has a winning record. Let's say they make the playoffs. So even if it's a, you know, bottom rung seed, you going to fire him? You going to fire him after that season? I don't see it.
I guess it just depends on, like, what do they think about a head coach entering into a year basically lame duck, has no contract? What do they think about that? Because some people just absolutely hate that idea. I don't know. I don't know what their viewpoint on that would be.
Yeah, everybody doesn't do it the way Dallas did it, right?
Most teams don't.
So let me cut you off real quick. So let's say they get the playoffs and they lose, you know, like they lose in the first round. And I know I'm asking you because Robbie just, you know, he just wants him fired so bad. But I do think that I would not be surprised, given the amount of time and, like you said, all they put in on the defense. And then I want to take it a step further, Charles. If that is the case, okay, how coveted would he be? Because obviously Titans fans around here are like, sure, fire him. Robbie wants him to be in his town.
Yeah, that's
have him on the show.
That's right.
You know, I don't know that I would think Stefanski, honestly. So let's say we're like slotting guys, right? I would still slot Stefanski ahead of him based on what Stefanski has done in the past with the situation he's been handed, right? I think LaFleur would be probably attractive as, man, I don't know if that's a good question. You know, I don't know if he'd be instantly attractive as a head coach, or if he'd need a gap year, if he'd be instantly attractive as an OC. I know the Packers job, you want to open it. It's going to be extremely coveted right away. So my question for you is, Joe, if you're going to fire him and you're the Packers, then what's your approach then? What's your approach heading into the offseason, right? Like, you don't want to fire him without having an idea of what you want, where you want to go with this job, right? And really, realistically, because it's the Packers, because the roster is in the state that it's in, you should have your pick of the litter. You should be able to go out and get anybody. I mean, it's a cornerstone franchise. It's even though it is in Green Bay, still it's considered like one of those foundational teams in the NFL where the job is coveted because it's the Green Bay Packers of all places. And it does. It has a roster ready to win right now. It's got a quarterback. It's got, you know, young pieces. Has great defense in terms of the talent load. You should be able to get whoever you want. So then what in your mind is what's your goal in terms of your hire for the Packers? Who's out there where you're like, all right, let's fire Matt LaFleur so we can go get that guy?
Don't ask me. Who do you want,
Robbie? Well, I don't know that there's great options out there right now, right? Like, we've talked about that with the Titans job. Like, there are not a ton of great coaches available.
Right, and I think that's something you have to actually think about, right? I mean, it's realistic because I don't know, you know, if you're the Packers, you're not going to go to the, hey, let's go get Clint Kubiak. Let's go get the, let's go pick a coordinator, you know, who's having a hot season type of situation. I think if you're the Packers, you're like, no, let's go get, we need a seasoned coach who's got a heck of a resume and we can go win a Super Bowl immediately with that guy. I don't think you gamble that roster on, you know, someone that's, unproven at this point. And I don't think, I mean, it'd be crazy if you can't go get like Mike McCarthy for that job. He's already had that job. You can't do that again. So you're right. I mean, I think you factor that. Like, you're like, okay, you know, we're going to fire this guy. Who are the candidates out there? It's the same deal with quarterbacks. Let's get rid of the quarterback. Okay, well, what are your options? Your options aren't great. Maybe getting rid of the quarterback's not a great idea. So I you know, and Joe, to answer your question about Matt being, I'm sure he would be coveted for some jobs, especially like an OC type of situation. I don't know that he would be immediately coveted for a head coaching situation. Now, obviously there's some ties there in terms of, you know, inside the Titans organization. It's not like he's a known commodity in multiple different ways. Not just because he worked for the Titans at one point. Obviously there's Green Bay ties there too. So that would certainly be interesting. It would definitely be interesting. Is that what you want, Robbie? Do you want him? You want him as a?
He'll take a quality control dude from the Jets over LaFleur at this point.
I'd hire you.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised. Wow. I'm honestly a little bit surprised to hear you say that, Charles, that he wouldn't necessarily be like immediately coveted as a head coach. That's, I mean, to me, that answer from you makes me think it makes me think a little less of him slash more like he might be in, right? Like I guess a guy with that kind of record and with the clear development of Love, like the early days of Jordan Love in that franchise.
Yeah,
and also, I mean, my gosh, he put Malik Willis on the field, made him look like a great quarterback. I don't know, man. I figured he would be a little more coveted than that.
You don't think that the Love, like what's happened with Love this season, like I don't, this
might count against him. Yeah, yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
You know, you got to factor that in. Like, I don't know if I would say clear development. Like, Love has not arrived. Like, he has not planted his flag, and you're like, okay, we're done with this idea that, you know, Love needs to be a better player. It's been a very disappointing season for him, and I have not put that all on him. I still think there's aspects of how that team – I'm never been thrilled with what's going on at wide receiver. I feel like they're like, hey, let's have a stable of twos and threes, and it's felt like that for – or let's keep hoping Christian Watson, you know, can stay healthy and turn a corner. And that's just going on and on and on. They're like, hey, let's bring him back in 2026 too. Let's make that commitment. Like that has bothered me. Obviously when Tucker Kraft went down, anybody who'd done any work on the Packers, like advanced workers, I remember when he had the injury, I wasn't watching at the time that he suffered the injury, but I had somebody text me from another team and they were like, hey, this is huge. Like, this could potentially change their offense. I was like, I don't even know what you're talking about right now. And he's like, you know, Tucker Kraft just, you know, probably is done for the season. And, you know, so it's troubling, I think, sometimes the way that, you know, you look at what Love has been working with, and that can hamper your development as a quarterback. But I've expected more at this point. I didn't think this team could be this anemic on offense. Like, it's just so bizarre to watch them. And then again, I've brought this up before, I don't know if it's a maturity thing where you don't have consistency from one week to the next. Like, it doesn't feel like a mature veteran-led team when you're kind of bouncing back and forth between looking good and then just coming out and scoring, you know, 13 points against the Carolina Panthers. Like, that to me is still one of the most inexplicable things I've seen in a long time. That game, I was just stunned at you know, how they looked. The Cleveland game too, when, you know, you score 10 points against the Browns and you have a complete epic collapse. I almost feel like they haven't recovered kind of since then, right? Like, that was such a shock when that happened.
Sounds like you're talking yourself into firing Matt LaFleur.
I told you before, I just told you, I said, look, I don't think he's been disappointing. Like, yes. I can't find his replacement yet, and I would love him to be in Tennessee to drive Robbie, you know,
weekly guest crazy. The show.
Oh, Robbie would be, yeah, he'd be, as long as he gets him away from his team. This has been a great, like, Green Bay Packers sort of therapy session, you know?
This was run on Green Bay radio this morning.
Yep. But you had to, you brought Cleveland into it, by the way. I just want to point out that you are the one who invoked a Cleveland Browns coach in our conversation. We did not ask you about it.
So we look forward to this making the rounds
for the record
later.
That's right.
A little bit later.
That's right.
Speaking of former Titans, A.J. Brown, another game with Philadelphia where, I mean, they win the game. They do, I guess, just enough offensively in that game with the way their defense was playing. But another game where A.J. Brown's basically a non-factor. He sounded off on the Twitch stream the other night and then had the press conference yesterday where I thought it was a good press conference by him yesterday where he's basically like, you know, we can't keep playing this way and think we're just going to magically win by the time the playoffs come around. So what do you make of where things stand with A.J. Brown and the Eagles?
I was glad that he finally put a little more clarity to it, right? Because the Twitch stream thing, I'm like, God, like, we need to get more guys playing video games and just pay attention to what they're saying when they're playing video games. Because, you know, we're I feel like more and more stuff is coming from these, you know, oddball places where guys get comfortable, you know, and then next thing you know, there's a headline attached to it. And at the time when I first heard it and I'm listening to it, I'm just like, what are we doing here? Like, what is the problem here? And I was telling Andrew Siciliano yesterday when we were doing the podcast, I said, I feel like in the past when things like this happen, I always run and look at the contract situation because I'm like, it's got to be, you know, this confluence of age, what he's getting paid, you know, his annual average value or wherever, maybe his guaranteed money's run out. And that has to be what's driving this. But it's not with AJ. He's paid. Like, he's got guaranteed money. Like, there's financially, that's not the issue. I'm like, okay, well, so then this really is, it's just an ego thing. Like, the guy's like, feed me. I want the ball. It's a, you know, Roma Dunze's dad. You know, the squeaky wheel gets oiled. But then, you know, he comes out yesterday, and he says what I actually agree with, which is, as Robbie said, this idea that, like, basically paraphrasing here, we're not pulling our end of the bargain. We're not holding it up. Like, we're winning games right now, but we're not a contributing part of this, and we can't keep getting away with that. I agree 100%. Like, there's no doubt in my mind when I watch Philly in an NFC where I think in these playoffs, I think there's any teams capable in this end. I don't look at, like, even Seattle, I think, is a little juggernaut-y, but every team in the NFC, I'm like, there's some kind of flaw, or they've laid a couple of eggs, or there's, you know, something there to doubt this team. You know, it's not like Philly last year where you're like, man, they're hitting green lights, but they're looking great doing it. And I don't know anybody's going to be able to stop them running the ball. Well, they can't run the ball consistently. They're not throwing the ball, you know, downfield in terms of, like, chunks and explosives consistently. You know, the line's kind of, for the first time in a while, at times has not been, you know, the perfect standard, the gold standard that we thought. And yeah, he's right. I absolutely think that, you know, if Philly plays like this offensively, they're going to get beat in the playoffs. And, you know, I was telling Andrew, I said, this, it just continues to me to feel like someone in that building has got to put this together, has to get everybody in a room, whether it's Howie Roseman, whether it's Sirianni, who obviously is sick of talking about this, but he's got to get, you know, he's got to get the quarterback. He's got to get Hurts in the room with AJ and Saquon and say, you know, look, what are we doing scheme wise? What's missing here? Because we got to fix this before we get to, you know, January. But here's the thing too. We do this every single November. Players do it too, where there's this, like, complaining about certain teams or moaning and groaning about this isn't working, that's not working. And, you know, and then these peaking teams in November, we're all excited about them. You know, oh, they're playing so great. They're putting it together. And then come the end of December, the peaking team has now kind of flattened out a little bit, and the struggled one has kind of gotten itself together. I look at Philly, and I'm sorry, Robbie, but I look at, like, Green Bay. These teams that are struggling right now, I'm kind of like, maybe it's not the worst thing, because they can get to the end of December, and if you're peaking at the end of December, everything's going to be fine, and that's when you want to be hitting your stride. Philly's winning games without hitting their stride, and there's a silver lining to that, but you also can't, you know, carry these same problems into the playoffs. It's like Minnesota last year. When we saw them lose to Detroit at the end of the season, we're like, oh, God, like, I hope this isn't the team that carries this into the playoffs. And that's what happened. And that's how they ended up losing to the Rams. And so I don't know. I've done this so long, I don't get it. It's like Andrew Siciliano called him a malcontent yesterday. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, call AJ Brown a malcontent? I feel like I'm used to wideouts complaining, right? Like, T.O. was way worse than this in Philly. Like, it was way, and that was like a team that went to the Super Bowl. It was way worse than AJ Brown's been. And yet, you know, we're getting out of joint. And I know I've gone on a tangent here. I will say one thing. This is about covering the NFL. Sirianni complained about getting asked this question about AJ Brown. He's so sick of answering questions. There was a time in the NFL when we would, as, like, local reporters, national, whatever, you would go into a locker room, and there would be 20, 30 guys in open locker room, right? and you'd have you'd be able to chase a bunch of different stories, go in a bunch of different directions. You go into an open locker room now, half a dozen guys if you're lucky, and if you're really lucky, then some of them might be starters. So you end up harping on the same stuff over and over and over, or the one guy who decides he's going to make himself available over and over and over gets written about. This is like a pocket complaint of mine about the NFL. The more they have strangled the ability of people to get to know people on the roster and have open locker rooms that mean things, the more you write about A.J. Brown 15 times during the course of a season because you really have nothing else to chase. So Nick Sirianni can take that and stick it in his pipe and smoke it.
There we go.
That's a very good point. It'd be great if people could listen to that, who can make things like that better. But no, I mean, it's changed a lot. So Charles, I want to on the back, I guess, on the topic of marketability, Brian Daboll, New York Giants, he's out, he's done.
Yeah.
Somehow Joe Shane is not yet, but how is he viewed around the league? And again, a lot of my questions kind of tie back to the opening here with the Titans. First of all, like, it seems to me like he would be a guy who would need a gap year or need to be an OC again or something like that, but
yeah.
maybe not. Well, how is he viewed, and how do you assess, like, what all went down there? It seems like one thing he needs to do is stay the hell out of the medical tent.
Yeah. That's, you joke about that, but, like, you want to talk about the moment of desperation this season where you're kind of, like, looking back, like, oh, man, yeah, that guy really has – his job's been on the line. Like, when you enter the medical tent, you're probably raising the flag. They're like, hey guys, I think I might be fired at any moment. And you know, I think that it's the reason why I think he needs a gap year. I think offensively it was not, there was not any creativity there, right? Like, he's another guy we thought, oh, he developed Josh Allen and you know, that's the very top of his resume, and he'll always be coveted because of that. I think that shine kind of wore off, and I don't think it helps him to see Daniel Jones go elsewhere and, you know, thrive. I know Daniel Jones obviously had the initial season when he was there, but that's just like Tua having the initial season under Mike McDaniel. That only lasts for so long. Like, you have to be able to take this to another level. He's never been able to do that at the quarterback spot. I think, you know, when Jackson Dart got in there, even some of the ways he fawned over Jackson Dart publicly, I think there were definitely some people in the league were like, man, he's just, pull it back a little bit. It's a rookie quarterback, man. Like, don't get over your skis on this guy, because there's a lot of season left to be played. And no matter how much you love him, you can't just go out in front of the media and basically be like, this is the greatest thing to happen to our franchise, which is how it felt. Like, some of the things Daboll was saying, I'm like, man, this is just, it felt so out of character and in some ways really desperate. Yeah, I think he's going to have to go elsewhere. He's going to have to be an OC. He might get another shot at a job. I don't think it was all his fault there. I think, you know, if the Saquon mistake had not been made, maybe things are different. I'm a little worried at how, I don't want to put this all on him, because I think a lot of it is Dart, but Dart has put himself into situations where the guy's like, he's going to end up being knocked out for the season with a concussion if this keeps up. And it was worrisome how many times it felt like that was happening in a Giants game. You can only scheme it so many ways, and you can only tell a guy, don't use this athleticism you have. So it is on the kid too, but you know, I think ownership was a little worried about that too. Just like the mentality of Jackson Dart and whether or not Daboll is capable of saying, hey, we got to keep you safe. We got to keep you healthy. We got to keep you in games. And, you know, oh, by the way, our head coach is the same one who tried to pull you basically out of a medical tent, and put you back on the field as quickly as possible. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not been, since that first season in New York, it's just been this sort of de-evolution with him. And I still think there's, you know, a good coach in there, but the creativity is something that a lot of teams are going to look at. And it's the same, you know, Matt LaFleur, people are going to complain about the play calling and the creativity. And, you know, that's a big deal now. And I think that's going to be a barrier for him when it comes to the next job. I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to have a head job right away.
Charles, the first time that LaFleur's on our show as head coach of the Titans, we'll make sure you're in with us. We'll just do a four-man show that day.
That'd be awesome.
Man,
we can all rip the Browns.
Yeah, there you go. Let's do that. Now, see, I didn't bring them up there, so I didn't that's on you, man.
We need to start what's the station so we know just who to send the clips to? We can just make it.
You don't need to send it. They find it.
Make it easier on them.
I'll tell you what, they are good though at the investigative work they do. What's with you guys? How come when I'm talking about the Titans on Cleveland radio, you guys pull the clip?
Good question.
That's a fair point. Send it to us. Question. Did you say anything good?
You guys are getting embarrassed here. Were you going to ask me about the Heisman? What's going on with the Heisman?
No, I mean, unless you have a real strong take or something. I just kept talking about the Heisman.
But great explanation.
Who's your Heisman winner, Charles?
I was like a Hemingway right there.
Yeah, it was really good.
I mean, it's got to be Mendoza. Come on. What are we doing here?
Okay.
You'll leave Mendoza?
He's my number one right now. Yeah, but I'm just saying that Diego Pavia should still
in the mix?
Be. Yeah, exactly.
In the mix.
Yes.
Here we go.
So, we'll see.
And the quarterback from Indiana is potentially going to be the top pick in the draft. I mean, like,
that's pretty wild.
And I never in my life would have thought that could ever happen. And it could be justified, too. It's not like it's anything crazy. That's why he's playing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, no doubt.
Charles, thank you, sir, for being with us. We appreciate so much your time and your perspective, and we will talk to you next week, my friend.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with me after I woke up dusty and needed to obviously hydrate for the first time in 24 hours.
That was awesome. I appreciate it. Glad we got to experience that together.
Keep drinking that water. See you, man.
I'll talk to you later.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll react to what Charles had to say. A lot of your thoughts to get to as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Looking for a great spot to pregame before the Titans-Texans game this Sunday? Stop by John Bon Jovi's and pregame with 102.5 The Game. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer, and cocktails, stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. Pregame show brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Appreciate Charles Robinson for being with us in the last segment. A lot of different things on the Charles Robinson front there to get to. Let's start on the LaFleur front. So, obviously, you know, Titans fans are paying attention. You're talking about potential coaching openings at the end of the year. And we've said this, like, the more coaches that are available, better off that is for the Titans. You get that pool going, and, you know, we'll see what that ends up looking like. Look, there's still time for Matt LaFleur and the Packers to turn things around, and who knows, maybe they go on some Super Bowl run.
Well, he's right, though, about that, right?
He's coaching for the next 15 years.
Plenty of teams struggle at this time of year, and then they figure it out.
Exactly.
It happens.
So, you know, they've got Jameis and the Giants this weekend. They may win by 20 and then move on from there. We'll see what happens. But there's a chance. Like, you know, he's being peppered left and right this week about his job. So there's a chance that LaFleur is available at the end of the year. If that were the case, would Titans fans be excited about that? Would that be your target? I've seen some Titans fans this week be like, yes, please. Fire Matt LaFleur and we will bring him in. I disagree with Charles a little bit there. Like, I think if he wanted to, he could have another job pretty quickly as a head coach in the National Football League.
Yeah, I would think so, too. It was almost like basically Charles' two answers to that, to me, didn't really go together. That's kind of what I was driving at. I was like, okay, so you're basically, you know, you're saying, okay, maybe next year's the hot seat. Okay, but then also you don't think that teams would want him right now if he got fired? I mean,
I think it just depends on the situation.
Yeah. But that's the thing. He's right that, like, the Dallas-McCarthy thing would be exactly the same situation, but some teams don't do that.
Some teams don't like that. Like, you know, there are some teams that say you either make the decision to extend a guy when there's 1 year left or you fire him. You don't come in with the lame duck year. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that way.
I mean, no, like, in college football, it's more of a deal.
Yeah,
you know?
Because you're talking about recruiting and all sorts of things at that point. But I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see the way it goes. I mean, the love conversation is all over the place right now. You know, he was bad on Monday night. It was 2 weeks ago on Sunday Night Football where he completed 20 passes in a row and threw for 360 yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean, I think largely he's been fine this year.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, at this point, I guess, based on a couple years ago, was it 2 years ago or 3 years ago when they like bombed Dallas in the playoffs on the road?
It's 2 years ago.
Yeah. Like, I guess at that point, if you said, okay, fast forward to right now, what is Jordan Love? I probably would have said he's a clear top five QB in the league.
Right.
You know?
And he's not that.
Yeah. So.
But, I mean, again, as you go through the numbers,
he's still good.
69% of his passes, 2,200 yards, 8 yards an attempt, 13 touchdown, 3 picks.
How much more of the
discourse this week has been unbelievable.
They just had some terrible offensive games.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, how much more of a ceiling do we think there is for Jordan Love at this point, given how long he's been in the league? How much better can he get?
I don't know. I mean, I think he's a good player.
Is there someone else that can unlock
if he can be his best version, you can win it all with him for sure.
Yeah.
Right? So isn't that what it's about? Yeah. Like, sometimes we get in these discussions and it's like I default to the, you know, I feel like people are so much more consumed with we need a franchise quarterback than the point, which is we're trying to win a championship. Like the Bills, they got their franchise quarterback. Okay, let me know when you win it all. Chargers have it, right?
Yeah.
Let me know. Ravens, let me know. Eagles, people say, okay, well, they're working on another ring. Yeah. So you tell me what you prefer. But I think Jordan Love, I don't know if he's ever going to be like top. But again, I think he's played like his best that we've seen. We've seen enough of it. That should be able to win you a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
As long as you fire Matt LaFleur and get a good coach in there. There you go. That's the answer, right?
I can't wait till the Titans hire him. It's going to be awesome. Great day on the show. We'd have to get him on the first day. Matt, you got to come in for 30 minutes. I'm sorry. At least. Got a lot of things we got to talk about.
Matt, we rip Vrabel a lot. Would you be our friend and come in here?
I don't know this, but I don't get the impression those two like each other very much.
Yeah, like I don't know if LaFleur dislikes Vrabel. I don't know. You would know more than me as he made a little snide comment here and there. But I don't think when LaFleur got hired away, I think the reaction in the building was like, what? And it was like, all right, see you, dude. It was fine. Like, you know, right. Yeah.
Congratulations.
I mean, LaFleur's one season here was underwhelming. Now, granted, his first game as OC, Marcus got his nerves rearranged in his body, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to remember that he had that all year.
Yeah.
But, hey, got the Packers job. Good for you. Bully for you.
The A.J. Brown situation in Philadelphia, interesting as well. I mean, they keep winning games, but, I mean, go look at his numbers. A.J. Brown, through 8 games, has 31 catches, 408 yards, and 3 touchdowns. I mean, there have been like 2 week spans in the league in his career where he's had 408 yards and 3 touchdowns. So it is interesting how that's going in Philadelphia right now. I would imagine at some point along the way here, he's going to have some game where he catches like 9 passes for 200 yards and just absolutely torches people out there. But that's the other thing. Like, he's got 408 yards on the season through 8 games, and he's had 2 games where he's had 109 and 121. Which means the rest of them, you're talking
nothing.
8 yards, 7 yards, 80 yards, 13 yards this past week against Green Bay. It's pretty wild.
So I didn't see the press conference you referenced there, but good for him because I agree with him. I understand it's the receiver malcontent and all this stuff. And AJ,
he's a little dramatic.
Sure, there's no question. It doesn't take long for him to flip out at times, and it's like, you know, I'm sure it's not productive. But I don't think he's wrong. I mean, like, how are they?
If they keep playing this way, they're not going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're not going to win it all unless they lean in on some of their strengths that they don't seem to be able to do too often on offense.
Which is kind of amazing, though, because, like, you look at their roster, and, you know, they've got all these jumbo packages they keep trotting out there, and I get it. They're trying to open up Saquon. But it's like they've got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith out there. Like, throw the ball. Yeah, I don't get it.
I hear you. It's weird how – and I guess, you know, like they just played the Packers in an absolute grinder, and with both teams have a ton of talent on offense. And they have talent on defense too, but like both teams, like they go through stretches. Like, how are you struggling this much on offense?
Yeah.
It should not look like that.
Big game versus the Lions this week. Sunday nighter. Should be
Sunday
a good game.
Football. It's actually a good chance for A.J. to get right. That might be the A.J. get right game. Gets that Lions secondary. you know,
target him 17 times.
Philly favored by 2.5.
Okay.
I was going to ask Charles about the Rams being possibly the best team in the NFC.
Also, well, another good game this week.
Yeah, yeah. Rams Seahawks is huge. So Jordan Rodriguez, friend of the show, my coworker at The Athletic, she broke this down after they killed the Niners. You know, 45, 46% they were in 13 personnel.
Yeah.
Three tight end look. And their success rate with 13 personnel was off the charts, which is crazy because, I mean, the Rams, so that's 13 personnel is one back, it's three tight ends, it's one receiver. I mean, the Rams have Puka and Devontae.
Yeah. Who are both playing very well, by the way.
Who are both playing very well, but in 13 personnel, they played for half a game and then destroyed the Niners with it, which is really fascinating, but also it's like, well, Sean McVay may know a little bit about ball.
That's the reason everybody that was in his general vicinity at one point got a job in the NFL, including Matt LaFleur. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. More reaction to Charles Robinson to get to coming up next. Chase and Big Joe broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday night football game. Monday night matchup is the Cowboys taking on the Raiders. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, let me ask you. If Matt LaFleur becomes available at the end of the year, is he your number one target for the Tennessee Titans?
You know who his best friend is in the NFL? His absolute best friend. I did a story on him long ago when he was with the Titans, and I talked to this guy. They are best friends going back to like when they were like 19, 20 years old. I would take his best friend over.
Saleh?
Yes. Yep. Robert Saleh is his best friend. They were at Central Michigan together under Brian Kelly a long time ago, and I would still I know it's
Saleh, like head coach LaFleur OC.
Well, that'd be all right. I mean, some people would, and that, you know, I mean, I guess that's feasible. I still think there'd be more of a market for him than Charles does. And I think some people, I mean, honestly, that's a take by me that some people could jump all over, and you would have a lot of ammo because, like, LaFleur has done way more as a head coach than Saleh. But I'm giving him the opposite of whatever the tax is. I'm giving Saleh the Jets rebate. And I just think I think that over time he will prove to be a better head coach than Matt LaFleur.
Okay.
But that's a little bit of a gamble.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, let's just go Mike McCarthy.
Always comes back to him.
Yeah.
I thought you were a Nagy guy.
No, I'm not. I don't. I think Nagy does. I think he's a little bit disrespected for the Bears' tenure. And I'm not down. He's down my list, though. I mean, Saleh's been the top of my list. LaFleur would be a strong two if he were fired. And then probably I think I might go Nagy over Arthur Smith. I understand the whole idea of Arthur Smith, knowing the people here and things like that. There's some value in that for sure. But I mean, it really hasn't gone all that well for him since he left here. And there's a lot of things that go into that. Not blaming him for all of it, of course, sure. But it hasn't gone great.
No.
And right now, I don't know, man. I'm a little worried about those Steelers.
They might fall apart in the second half of the year.
Yeah.
That very well could happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's a division that's not that good. You get the Ravens, who have won three in a row now. You know, Burrow apparently is coming back. Like, if you told me now that Pittsburgh fell apart and didn't win the division after leading by two, three games, however much it was a couple weeks ago, I'd believe you.
Yeah, good, because I told you that weeks ago. You should have believed me then.
You did. Yeah, I'm interested to see how that part of it plays out. Let me just go ahead and put this out there. I don't think LaFleur would come here. I don't have any inside knowledge on that. I think if he got fired by Green Bay, his next stop would be at a place that he feels pretty confident he can win. I don't know how that could be here based on what is currently involved.
Yeah.
Other than, I guess, if he just saw something in the second half of the year where he was just absolutely in love with Cam Ward, then maybe, but I don't think he would come here.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, I think that there'd be enough jobs more attractive. But that's the whole point, as you've been saying a lot. Like, get as many people in
get
there
as many as people in there as you can.
See if somebody would hire Daboll. Yep. You know, or again, he could be a good OC candidate. couple of people on the text and YouTube chat talking about LaFleur Stenier here. Well, first of all, someone said he's the guy who played David Flew Ellen, flu season over Derrick Henry. I don't know that that was necessarily a Fleur. I mean, I think that was a Vrabel thing as much as it was a LaFleur thing. Timothy on the YouTube chat said, wasn't LaFleur the same guy at OC who played Murray and Lewis? You're talking about DeMarco Murray?
And Deion Lewis, yep.
I mean, DeMarco Murray, first of all, was the best back in the NFL in 2016 before he got hurt. So
I think he was gone by the time.
And also, LaFleur was not the OC then. But yes, I mean, look, the Lewis over Derrick Henry was a very real thing. Also, he was better than him that year. Until Derrick Henry went nuts at the end of the year, that changed his entire career.
Deion Lewis got too worried about blocking everybody on Twitter.
He did.
Still blocked by Deion Lewis. Never said a word to the guy.
Should have blocked for Derrick Henry. Yeah, you still blocked?
Yeah.
Am I blocked? Are we all blocked?
I think we are.
I'm going to check right now.
That does it for us today.
I'll tell you tomorrow.
Here on the program. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman is next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.